At this time under Ahab's reign,
på denne her tiden her under Akabs regjeringstid,
they're worshiping other gods.
Så tilber de andre guder.
Of course, the Israel along with Judah is supposed to only worship Yahweh.
Israel jo selvsagt ment å skulle tilbe Gud, Herren, sammen med Juda I Sørriket.
The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob.
Abrahams, Isaks og Jakobs Gud.
But when by the time Ahab takes over, there's all these other Canaanite religions.
Men nå som Akab har tatt over, så det mange andre kananeiske religioner som I landet.
It's very multicultural.
Veldig multikulturelt altså.
You know, all sorts of philosophies, all sorts of religions, all sorts of ideologies.
Alle slags mulige filosofier, religioner og ideologier.
Everyone was very open-minded and tolerant, you know.
Alle var veldig hadde veldig åpne sinn og var veldig tolerante.
You know, you have your God, I have my God.
Du har din Gud, jeg har min Gud.
Whatever works for you.
Det som funker for deg.
And Ahab, he had plenty of gods.
Og Akab hadde flere guder.
But Yahweh wasn't one of them.
Men Herren var ikke en av de.
Verse 31. Then as if following the sin of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, were a trivial matter, he married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and then proceeded to serve Baal and worship him.
Det skjedde som om det ikke var nok, dette vers 31 som følger, som om det ikke var nok at han vandret I Jeroboam, Nabats sønns synder, at han til og med tok Jezabel til hustru. Hun var datter av Ethbaal, Sidoniernes konge. Han gikk og dyrket Baal og tilba ham.
There's the woman.
Den kvinne.
This is one bad chick.
Dette en fryktelig, hva skal man si?
She,
dame.
This is not the girl you want your son to come home with.
Det ikke denne dama her du vil at din sønn skal komme hjem med.
The Ahab is the first king of the nation of Israel since it split from Judah to marry a foreign princess.
Så Akab, han var den første kongen I Israel før det splittet til å gifte seg med en utenlandsk kvinne eller prinsesse da.
As she was the daughter of the king of the Phoenicians.
Hun var datter av kongen til fønikerne.
She would have been a high priestess in the worship of both Baal and Asherah.
Och det betydde att hon var en hög prästinna för både Baal och en annan gud som heter Asherah.
And now she is marrying into Israel.
Och nu gifter hon sig in I Israel.
I sometimes wonder what Jezebel was thinking.
Jag bara lurer på vad Jezebel tänkte.
I don't suggest you spend too much time reflecting on that.
Ikke tenk for mye på det.
Getting in the mind of a lunatic.
Ikke gå inn I,
you can play with you after a while.
Ikke, det ikke så lurt å gå inn I tankene på en som ikke helt god I hodet.
When her dad told her that she was going to marry Ahab.
Da hennes far sa at hun skulle gifte seg med Akab.
She probably had mixed feelings about it.
Så hadde hun sikkert litt blandet følelser rundt det.
On one hand, she's probably glad that she was marrying a king.
På en side så var hun sikkert glad for at hun skulle gifte seg med en konge.
Maybe not all of her sisters would get to marry kings.
Kanskje ikke alle søstrene hennes kunne gifte seg med konger.
You know, the king of Phoenicia probably had many daughters.
Kongen av Fønika hadde sikkert mange døtre.
And there are only so many kings to get married to.
Og det var bare et visst antall konger man kunne gifte seg med.
So maybe she considered herself lucky in that respect.
Så kanskje hun følte seg litt heldig på den måten.
On the other hand,
men på den andre siden,
the capital of Israel was Samaria.
Men hovedstaden I Israel var Samaria.
And if you're coming from Tyre of the Phoenicians,
hvis du kommer fra Tyrus hos fønikerne,
down to Samaria of Israel,
ned til Samaria I Israel,
it was a significant downgrade.
Så var det en ganske stor nedgradering.
I don't know if here in Norway you have any hillbilly towns.
Jeg vet ikke om dere har noen sånne bondeknølbyer her I Norge.
Am I in one now?
Jeg en sånn nå. Nei, da.
But I hope I'm not.
Jeg håper ikke det.
Sorry if I am.
Unnskyld.
But Tyre was an international city.
Men Tyrus, det var en internasjonal by.
They had the latest, the coolest, the newest of everything.
De hadde det siste, det nyeste, det kuleste av alt.
It was a port city on the Mediterranean.
Det var en havneby ved Middelhavskysten.
And so all the best cultural and technological goods made their way to Tyre.
Så alle de beste teknologiske og kulturelle tingene kom innom I Tyrus.
But Samaria.
Men I Samaria.
So the microphone can't handle all this anointing. No, it's your mic.
No,
it's you.
Don't worry.
Okay. The But Samaria was a small hillbilly town by comparison.
Men I sammenligning så var Samaria en liten sånn bondeknølby.
Maybe she was excited to marry the king.
Kanskje hun var glad for at hun skulle gifte seg med kongen.
And she shows up in Samaria.
Og så kommer hun til Samaria.
Thinks, right, where's the coffee shops?
Så spør hun, hvor kaféene?
Is that all there is to the shopping street?
Dette alt dere har I handlegata?
And she's probably a bit disappointed.
Hun sikkert blitt litt skuffet.
But Jezebel, she is not a passive woman.
Men Jezebel, hun ikke en passiv kvinne.
This woman has vision.
Hun har vision.
She has ambition.
Hun har ambition.
Now there's nothing wrong with a woman having ambition.
Ingenting som galt med at en kvinne har ambisjoner.
So long as the woman has a holy heart.
Så lenge hun har et hellig hjerte.
If she has a holy heart, she'll have holy ambitions.
Hvis hun har et hellig hjerte, så vil hun også ha hellige ambisjoner.
But Jezebel's heart is not a holy one.
Men Jezebels hjerte ikke et hellig hjerte.
And so her ambitions are not holy.
Så hennes ambisjoner ikke hellige.
So she has ambitions to change Samaria.
Så hun har ambisjoner om å forandre Samaria.
She wants to change Israel.
Hun vil forandre Israel.
She will lead Israel out of the dark ages.
Hun skal lede Israel ut av mørketiden.
Into a great spiritual and sexual revolution.
Inn I en stor åndelig og seksuell revolusjon.
She will lead this hillbilly town, this hillbilly country of Yahwehism and their mixture of idol worship.
Og hun skal bringe denne bondeknølbyen som full av litt mye avguder og litt sånn gudstilbedelse.
And she'll introduce her gods of Baal and Asherah.
Og hun skal bringe inn sine guder, Baal og Asherah.
The sophisticated, educated, cultured gods of the Phoenicians.
De sofistikerte, kulturelt høytstående gudene til fønikerne.
And you know, she's going to make Israel that's a country that's down with the rest of the kids.
Hun skal gjøre Israel til et land som I sammen med de kule guttene eller kule den kule gjengen.
So so she's going to be this great reformer.
Så hun skal bli en stor reformator.
So she gets to work.
Så hun begynner å jobbe.
One of the first things scripture says she does.
En av de første tingene som Bibelen sier at hun gjør.
Is that she brings in almost 1,000, we'd call them like magician policemen.
At først hun gjør å bringe inn cirka 1,000 magikerpolitimenn.
These are like Gestapo priests.
Det sånne Gestapo-prester.
Okay, these are like the religious enforcement of Israel.
Disse her skal tvinge fram religionen I Israel.
It is Jezebel's personal army.
Dette Jezebels personlige hær.
And they she's going to lead the country into the worship of Baal and Asherah.
Och nu ska hon leda detta landet in I tillbedelsen av Baal och Asherah.
And so you see Israel going from this sort of multi-culti to a much more totalitarian society.
Nu får du se att Israel går från att vara ett ganska multikulturellt till att bli ett totalitärt samhälle.
All of a sudden you don't hear people saying, well, that might be true for you, but this is true for me.
Nu hör du inte längre att folk säger att det är sant för dig, men detta kanske sant för dig. For meg.
And all of a sudden people are saying you better worship Jezebel's god.
Nå begynner folk å si du må tilbe Jezebels gud.
Or you're an enemy of the nation.
Eller så du en fiende av vårt land.
So what else did Ahab do?
Hva annet gjorde Akab?
Well, under Jezebel's influence,
under Jezebels innflytelse.
Says he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal that he had built in Samaria. Ahab also made an Asherah pole, which is kind of a cross between a nightclub, a church, and a strip club, like all rolled into one. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Samaria than all the kings of Israel who were before him.
Så står det videre I vers 32. Så satte han opp et alter for Baal I det tempelet som han hadde bygd for Baal I Samaria. Akab laget en Asherah-pel. Han sier at det var litt som en nattklubb og en strippeklubb og et religiøst alter. Akab gjorde mer for å egge Herren Israels Gud til vrede enn alle kongene som hadde vært før ham I Israel.
It says Ahab did more to provoke God.
Det står at Akab gjorde mer for å provosere Gud.
To provoke him to anger.
For å provosere ham til sinne.
Than all the other kings put together.
Enn alle de andre kongene til sammen.
Fellas, be careful who you marry.
Vær forsiktig med gutter eller menn, hvem dere gifter dere med.
All right, she was no good. He wasn't good to begin with.
Han var ikke bra til å begynne med.
She didn't help.
Men det hjalp ikke at han gifta seg med henne.
And God is angry.
Og Gud sint nå.
Now this is an important question for our generation.
Og det et viktig spørsmål for vår generasjon.
Does God get angry?
Blir Gud sint?
You know, you ask that question in a lot of churches, you're going to get some different responses.
Hvis du spør det spørsmålet I forskjellige menigheter, så kan du få ganske mange forskjellige spørsmål.
We are Christians.
Vi är kristna.
And we know God's goodness and his favor.
Vi vet om Guds godhet och hans nåde.
So I understand.
Så jag förstår.
Why some people don't like the idea of God being angry.
Att inte alla liker idén om att Gud kan bli sint.
If you had a good father,
hvis du hadde en god far,
you probably don't like to think of him as an angry man.
Så tenker du ikke på han, liker du ikke å tenke på han som en sint mann?
So why would you want to think of your heavenly father that way?
Så hvorfor vil du tenke om din himmelske far på den måten?
Well, that kind of makes sense.
Det kan man forstå.
But if you look a lot closer at the story of the Bible,
men hvis du ser litt nærmere på historien I Bibelen,
you see there's a lot more to it than just that.
Så ser du at det mer enn bare det.
God creates the world good and perfect.
Gud skaper verden god, perfekt.
And man and woman, Adam and Eve, they were originally God's children.
Och Adam och Eva var opprinnelig Guds barn.
But then they turned away from God.
Och så vände de sig bort från Gud.
They brought evil into the world.
De bragte ondskap in I världen.
They decided they no longer wanted to be a part of God's family.
De bestämde att de inte längre ville vara en del av Guds familj.
And the good world that God created became evil.
Och den goda världen som Gud hade skapat blev ond.
Now God is—he's a very good God.
Men Gud är en väldigt god Gud.
And He is of such goodness that He cannot tolerate evil.
Han är så god att han inte kan tolerera ondskap.
You know what this is like.
Du vet vad detta betyder.
You open a newspaper.
Du öppnar avisa.
Or you just get on your phone.
Och du ser på mobiltelefonen kanske.
Click your favorite news app.
Du trycker på favorit news app eller nyhetsappen din.
And sometimes you read about things that make you angry.
Och någon gång så läser du om ting som gör dig sint.
Do you get angry because you're a bad person?
Blir du sint för att du är en dålig person?
No.
Nej.
You get angry because the things you're reading about are bad.
Du blir sint för att det du läser om är illa.
Because they're offensive.
För att det är ja, det är inte bra.
Terrible things happen to innocent people.
Förfärliga ting som sker med oskyldiga människor.
And it makes you mad.
Och det gör dig sint.
Why? Because you're created in the image of God.
Varför? För att du är skapt I Guds bilde.
You were created to want justice in the world.
Du blev skapt för att och ville ha rättfärdighet I världen.
And when we see evil, we hear about evil and justice in the world, it should make us mad.
Så när vi hör om orättfärdighet och ondskap I världen så borde vi bli sinta.
Okay. And that's right. And so God feels this way.
Och det är riktigt och Gud också känner det på den måten där.
Israel is his special nation. This country is supposed to in a sense be married to him.
Israel är hans eget speciella folk och de är på en måte gift med han.
But now she's out dating Baal.
Men nu är hon ute på date med Baal.
You know? That he's angry.
Han är sint.
This is not the way it's supposed to be.
Det är inte slik det skulle vara.
And so the anger of God is thick upon the nation of Israel.
Så Guds vrede ligger tungt över Israel.
God is not quick to anger.
Gud är inte en Gud som raskt blir sint.
He is slow to get angry.
Men han är långmodig och blir och brukar tid på att bli sint.
It's been 60 years now.
Nu har det varit 60 år.
Yeah, if you had a friend.
Hvis du hade en vän.
That was treating you badly for 60 years.
Som uppförde sig dåligt mot dig I 60 år.
If you understand after maybe after 60 years of them treating you badly, you might begin to get angry.
Så kan du förstå att efter 60 år med dålig behandling så kan du kanske börja bli sint.
So God is slow to anger, but he does get angry.
Så Gud han är treg till vrede, men han blir sint.
We get a little insight to just how bad things got here.
Vi får lite insikt I hur illa ting blir här.
Verse 34.
I vers 34.
What time do we normally go to again? Oh, yeah, I think I remember. Okay. Good. All right. Just another 3 hours. Good.
Bara 3 timmar till.
Good. Verse 34.
Vers 34.
During his reign, Hiel the Bethelite built Jericho. At the cost of Abiram, his firstborn, he laid its foundation. At the cost of Segub, his youngest, he set up its gates. According to the word of the Lord, he had spoken through Joshua, son of Nun.
Det står I vers 34. I hans tid byggde Hiel fra Betel Jericho opp igjen. Det kostet ham Abiram, hans førstefødte, å legge grunnvollen til den. Og det kostet ham Segub, hans yngste, å sette opp portene til den, etter det Herrens ord som han hadde talt ved Josva, Nuns sønn.
Jericho, where have we heard of this city before?
Jericho, hvor har vi hørt om den byen før?
If you paid attention to Sunday school or Veggie Tales, you probably know.
Hvis dere har fulgt med på søndagsskolen eller sett på grønnsakshistorier, så vet du det antageligvis.
Yeah, you remember the story.
Du husker sikkert historien.
It happened about 500 years previous to this.
Detta var 500 år för detta.
Moses had died.
Moses var död.
And Joshua, the general and leader of the nation, are leading the people of Israel into the promised land.
Och Josua, generalen och ledaren I Guds folk, leda folket in I det lovade land.
And they come to Jericho.
Och de kommer till Jericho.
And they do not fire a single arrow.
Och de skjuter ingen enda pil.
They walk around the city, they praise God.
De går runt I byn och de priser Gud.
And almost as if there was a giant earthquake, the whole city just collapses.
Ja, de går runt byn. Och så var akkurat som det var ett stort jordskälv, så kollapsar hela bymuren.
And it was such a holy moment.
Och det var så helig ögonblick.
That the people of Israel did not take any of the plunder, they didn't take the gold or the silver.
Att folk I Israel tog ingenting av det som de kunde ha plyndrat av guld och sölv och såna ting.
There was one guy who tried but he got in trouble for it.
Det var en som gjorde och prövade men han fick problem.
But it was a holy moment and God had destroyed this wicked city and the people of Israel didn't even touch it.
Men det var ett heligt ögonblick. Gud hade ödelagt denna onda byn och Guds folk rörte inte en gång vid den.
And if you read it closely, you remember after this Joshua he commanded a curse over the whole city.
Och hvis du läser lite närmare så husker du att Josua han förbannade hela denna byn.
God destroyed the city and this city is not to be rebuilt.
Han säger Gud ödelade denna byn och denna byn ska inte byggas upp igen.
So for 500 years no one had touched that city.
Så I 500 år så hade ingen rört denna byn.
People feared the word of God.
Folk hade frykt för Guds ord.
There was a curse over that to touch this. There was a curse to touch it. Curse to rebuild it.
Det var en förbannelse över det. Det var en förbannelse över att röra det. Det var en förbannelse över att bygga det upp igen.
But the Israeli culture had become so bad.
Men den israeliska kulturen hade blivit så fel.
That people no longer feared the curse.
Att ingen längre fryktade denna förbannelsen.
Ahab is king, and under Jezebel's influence, he thinks it should be rebuilt.
Så Akab är konge och under Jezebels inflytelse så tror menar han att denna byn blir byggas upp igen.
They're having sort of a what we'd call a cold war with Judah.
De har nu en kall krig med Juda I sör.
You know, they're not actually fighting, but tensions are high.
De slåss inte, men det är ganska höga spänningar.
And Ahab thinks it would be good to have a strong fortified city down in the south by the border.
Så Akab tänker att det är bra att ha en stark by med mur nere vid gränsen I sör till Juda.
So he consults with his ministry of defense.
Så han hör med försvarsministern sin.
And they give the contract to Hiel.
Så ger de kontrakten till Hiel.
And Hiel and his construction crew set about to rebuild the city.
Och Hiel och hans byggningsmän bygger upp byn.
Now it doesn't actually say how his two sons died.
Det står ingenting om hvordan sønnene hans døde.
Don't know what happened. Was it a construction accident?
Var det en arbeidsulykke? Vi vet ikke.
Was it a sickness?
Var det sykdom?
We don't know.
Vi vet ikke.
We just know that both of them died during the construction.
Vi vet at begge to døde mens byen ble bygd.
And that was connected with the curse.
Og det hadde noe med den forbannelsen å gjøre.
I wonder what people thought when that happened.
Jeg lurer på hva folk tenkte da det skjedde.
Did anyone think about Joshua's curse?
Var det noen som tenkte på Josuas forbannelse?
Really was God's curse?
Som virkelig var Guds forbannelse?
When Ahab heard about this, did he kind of take a step back and kind of scratch his chin and think, "Uh-oh, have I done the wrong thing?"
Var det sånn at når Akab hørte om dette at han tok et steg tilbake, klødde seg I skjegget og tenkte, "Har jeg gjort noe galt?"
Maybe even felt a little convicted for a day.
Kanskje han følte seg litt at han ble litt berørt av det en dag.
But then he went home in the evening, talked to his wife about it.
Men så gikk han hjem på kvelden og snakket med kona si om det.
She assured him it was just fine. He shouldn't be so superstitious.
Han sa, nei, det ikke så farlig. Du må ikke være så overtroisk.
And the next day he woke up feeling better.
Og så våkna han opp og følte seg bedre dagen etterpå.
And continued on as if nothing happened.
Og fortsatte som ingenting hadde skjedd.
But the Israeli culture becomes so bad there was no more fear of the Lord.
Men israelitiske kulturen hadde blitt så dårlig at det fanns ingen frykt for Gud.
Culture, it's not that people were not sinning before.
Det var ikke at folk ikke syndet før.
Because other spiritualities and other religions have been creeping in and sexual immorality was happening.
Men det var fordi at andre religioner hadde kommet inn og det var mye seksuell umoral.
But it was kind of a little bit hush-hush.
Men tidligere, det var sånn tidligere, men da var det litt mer hysj-hysj.
There was still a little bit of a sense where we probably shouldn't be doing these things.
Folk tenkte, ja, vi skulle nok egentlig ikke gjøre sånn som det her.
But under Ahab and Jezebel, people openly celebrate what in previous generations had been ashamed to even talk about.
Men under Akab og Jezabel så begynner folk å feire de tingene som de tidligere generasjoner hadde vært en skam å snakke om.
People openly celebrated what God's word called an abomination.
Folk feiret åpent det som Guds ord kalte for noe motbydelig.
They were proud of it.
De var stolte av det.
And this is the generation of Ahab and Jezebel.
Og dette var Akab og Jezabels generasjon.
Okay, I'm done my introduction.
Det var min innledning.
We can start preaching now.
Da kan vi begynne å preke.
All right, verse chapter 17.
Vers eller kapittel 17.
Now Elijah.
Nå kommer Elia.
The days are dark.
Dagene er virkelig mørke.
They are dark. The days are wicked.
Det onde dager.
God's wrath, his anger is laying upon Israel.
Og hans Guds vrede ligger over Israel.
People openly celebrate the defiance of Yah, the word of Yahweh.
Og folk feirer at de imot Herrens ord.
The worship of Yahweh is made illegal.
Og det å tilbe Herren blitt ulovlig.
Freedoms of religion and freedoms of expression have been eroded.
Religionsfrihet og uttrykksfrihet har blitt tatt vekk.
And it wasn't so hard to move them from a culture of sort of a multi-culti culture to a totalitarian culture. It wasn't that difficult.
Det var ikke så vanskelig å ta det fra et multikulturelt samfunn til et totalitært samfunn.
People were willing to turn a blind eye to these laws that made it illegal to worship Yahweh.
Folk var villige til å vende et blindt øye til disse lovene som gjorde det ulovlig å tilbe Herren.
Because hey, there was food on the table.
Det var jo mat på bordet.
The economy was going well.
Økonomien gikk bra.
And all this new nice technology from Tyre is coming into the country.
Og all den kule teknologien fra Tyrus kom inn I landet.
So they figure it's a good enough exchange.
Så de tenkte det en bra nok et bra nok utbytte.
The very few preachers that are left in the land, Yahweh preachers.
De få forkynnerne av Herren som var igjen I landet
are either executed by Jezebel or they go hiding in a cave somewhere.
Blir enten drept av Jezebel eller må gå gjemme seg I huler forskjellige steder.
And then Elijah.
Og så kommer Elia.
God sends Elijah.
Gud sender Elia.
Now Elijah the Tishbite from the Gilead settlers said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, I stand before him and there will be no dew or rain in these years except by my command."
Tishbitten Elia, dette kapittel 17 vers 1, en av Tishbittene som bodde I Gilead sa til Akab, "Så sant Herren Israels Gud lever, for hans ansikt det jeg står. Det skal ikke bli hverken dog eller regn disse årene uten på mitt ord."
Gilead was 30 miles or 45 kilometers to the east of Samaria, the capital.
Ja, Gilead lå cirka 45 kilometer øst for Samaria, hovedstaden.
It was on the other side of the Jordan.
På andre siden av Jordan.
But it might as well have been 3,000 miles away.
Men det kunne ha vært 3,000 kilometer, eller ja, 4,500 kilometer.
It might have been an ocean away.
Det kunne vært et hav unna.
Gilead was this small little mountain town.
Gilead, det var en sånn liten fjellandsby.
It was a country, it was a town of mountaineers.
Det var en fjellandsby med fjellfolk.
Of wild goats and
med mye ville geiter.
Difficult living.
Vanskelig å leve.
None of the nice new stuff that Jezebel had brought with her to Tyre would have made it up to Gilead.
Ingenting av de kule nye tingene som Jezebel hadde brakt til Samaria hadde kommet opp I fjellene der.
You know, when Elijah appears, he's wearing camel's hair as clothing.
Og når Elia kommer så går han med en kamelhårskappe.
These aren't the clothes you buy on the nice new top shop streets of Samaria.
Det ikke sånn type klær du finner I den fine nye handlegata I Samaria.
Elijah's not a city boy.
Elia ikke en bygutt.
You know, he shows up.
Han dukker opp.
This wild man from the mountains.
Denne ville mannen fra fjellene.
And he walks into Ahab's nice new cultured court.
Og han kommer inn I Akabs nye kulturelt høystående hoff.
And he interrupts the king and all of the cool kids.
Og han avbryter kongen og alle de kule den kule gjengen hans.
And he says, "Listen, there's going to be no more rain."
Han sier, "Hør nå, det kommer ikke til å komme mer regn."
Except by my word.
Uten at jeg har sagt det.
We don't get much more information than that.
Vi vet ikke så mye mer enn det.
I often wonder what the reaction was.
Og jeg lurer også på hva reaksjonen var.
Did Ahab stand up from his throne and point and say, "Guard, seize that man"?
Så for eksempel Akab pekte Akab på han og sa: "Gi vakter, ta den mannen."
Off with his head.
Få hodet hans av, skuldrene hans.
Or did they just all laugh?
Eller bare lo de.
Who's this crazy mountain guy?
Hvem den rare fjellfyren her?
Is he drunk?
Han full?
Please get him out of here. This is embarrassing.
Få han ut herfra, dette pinlig.
You know, we're trying to have, you know, intelligent conversations here.
Vi prøver å ha intelligente samtaler her.
We don't need this uneducated hillbilly in camel's clothing telling us his word is going to make it stop raining.
Vi trenger ikke denne utdannet bondeknølen med kamelkappe som skal fortelle oss noe som helst her.
We don't know what the reaction was.
Vi vet ikke hva reaksjonen var.
How long did you say it wasn't going to rain for?
Hvor lenge sa du at det ikke skulle regne?
Until I say so.
Til jeg sier det.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You can go now.
Da kan du gå.
Then a week went by.
Så gikk det en uke.
Well, it's Israel, it's the Middle East. It's not so strange that it wouldn't rain for 1 week.
Det jo Israel og det Midtøsten. Det ikke så rart hvis det ikke regner på en uke.
2 or 3 weeks go by.
2-3 uker.
No rain.
Ikke noe regn.
Still, it's the Middle East. That's not unheard of.
Men det liksom Midtøsten. Det ikke så uvanlig det.
And then 2 or 3 months go by.
Så går det 2-3 måneder.
And there's still no rain.
Fortsatt ikke noe regn.
And then people are starting to pay attention.
Da begynner folk å følge med.
Around the court, people are whispering to one another.
Ved hoffet så begynner folk å viske til hverandre.
Have you noticed this?
Har du merket dette?
Yeah, but don't talk too much about it.
Ja, men ikke si for mye om det.
Jezebel doesn't like it.
Jezebel liker ikke å høre det der.
But it hasn't rained since this guy said he stumbled into court. We all laughed at him, but it hasn't rained since then.
Men det har ikke regnet før han fyren snublet inn i hoffet og... vi bare lo av han, men det har jo ikke regnet siden da.
Months go by and months turn into years.
Og måneder går og det blir år.
And there's still no rain in the land.
Og fortsatt ikke noe regn i landet.
Now God has told Elijah to go hide himself.
Nå har Gud sagt til Elias at han skal gå og gjemme seg.
And he is in hiding for 3 years.
Og han gjemmer seg i 3 år.
Yahweh, the word of Yahweh has destroyed the economy of the nation of Israel.
Herrens ord har ødelagt økonomien i Israel.
This nation that was based on agriculture.
Denne nasjonen som var bygd på jordbruk.
All of it destroyed by the word of Elijah.
Alt ødelagt ved Elias ord.
The armies of Ahab and the alliance with Phoenicia was powerless to help the nation.
Og alliansen med Fønikia kunne ikke hjelpe nasjonen.
Yahweh was going to war against Baal.
Herren gikk til krig mot Baal.
And there was nothing the powers of Samaria could do to stop it.
Det var ingenting Samarias makt kunne gjøre for å stoppe det.
Well, there's a few places, a few different directions we could go right now.
Nå kan vi gå i mange forskjellige retninger.
Okay, I'm kind of getting the sense where everybody's at here.
Jeg tror jeg skjønner cirka hvor vi her i dag.
I want us to, we're going to kind of camp out here, if I can say this.
We're going
to take a moment to just talk about this one idea.
Okay, nå skal vi slå leir her og snakke om en bestemt idé.
About the word of the Lord.
Om Herrens ord.
Okay. It's probably a gross oversimplification on my part.
Dette her sikkert en veldig forenkling fra min side.
I'm probably being far too minimalistic.
Jeg kanskje litt for minimalistisk.
For me to say that probably the greatest need in the church today.
At kanskje det største behovet i Guds menighet i dag.
Is that we rediscover the word of the Lord.
At vi på nytt gjenoppdager Herrens ord.
In Israel, there was a famine of the word of the Lord.
I Israel så var det en hungersnød etter Guds ord.
People no longer wanted to hear the word of God.
Folk ville ikke lenger høre Guds ord.
They didn't want to hear about what Joshua pronounced over the city.
De ville ikke høre hva Josua hadde sagt over Jeriko.
They openly celebrated the word of the Lord being ignored.
Og de feiret det at de så bort ifra Guds ord, ignorerte det.
They didn't want that anymore.
De ville ikke ha det lenger.
There is a famine in the land, spiritually.
En åndelig hungersnød i landet.
And so God sent a famine in the natural.
Så Gud sendte en hungersnød også i det naturlige.
The natural followed the spiritual.
Det naturlige følger det åndelige.
And here we find ourselves now in the 21st century.
Og nå vi i det 20. eller 21. århundre.
And once again we have a famine of the word of the Lord.
Og igjen en hungersnød etter Herrens ord.
But for different reasons.
Men av forskjellige grunner.
many churches.
Mange kirker.
It's not always a priority among us.
Så er det ikke en prioritet.
You know, we put a lot of emphasis on having great music.
Vi bruker mye kraft på å lage og ordne i stand fin musikk.
We have a great atmosphere.
Og har en god atmosfære.
Lots of activities for the children.
Mange aktiviteter for barna.
And none of those things are bad.
Og ingen av de tingene
dårlige. Some of them are very necessary.
Og noen av de veldig nødvendige.
Okay. But
men
the Bible says we man shall not live by bread alone but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Men Bibelen sier at mennesket lever ikke av brød alene men av hvert ord som kommer fra Guds munn.
It's the word of God that keeps us alive.
Det er Guds ord som holder oss I live.
And everything else grows around that.
Og alt vokser rundt dette.
And when we turn our attention on all the extras.
Og når vi bruker og retter vår oppmerksomhet mot alle de tingene som rundt.
But forget what is essential.
Men glemmer det som essensielt.
Our hearts drift away from God.
Så kommer våra hjärtar bort ifrån Gud.
Now this year, well actually next month.
Nästa månad
is as some of you may know.
Så vet kanske några av er.
It's a very big anniversary.
Så är det ett stort jubileum.
500 years anniversary.
Ett 500 års jubileum.
Do you know what it is?
Vet du vad det är?
Pretty big deal historically.
Ganska stort historiskt sett.
Next month in October.
Nästa månad I oktober.
500 years since Martin Luther.
Så det 500 år siden Martin Luther
went to the door of Wittenberg there in Germany.
Gikk til kirkedøra I Wittenberg I Tyskland.
And armed with nothing but a hammer and a bunch of words.
Og væpnet med ingenting annet enn en hammer og masse ord.
Yeah, he nailed up his paper to the door of Wittenberg.
Så hang han opp sitt papir på Wittenbergs port.
And a revolution happened.
Og en revolusjon fant sted.
500 years ago next month.
500 år siden I neste måned.
That the Protestant revolution happened.
At den protestantiske revolusjonen startet.
It was called Protestants because they were protesting.
De ble kalt for protestanter fordi de protesterte.
You know, they were protesting sin.
De protesterte mot synd.
They were protesting corruption.
De protesterte mot korrupsjon.
They were protesting the darkness.
De protesterte mot det mørke som var.
And they wanted to protest what was wrong and get back to what was right.
De ville protestere mot det som var galt for å komme tilbake til det som var rett.
And just like in Elijah's day, there was a famine of the word of God.
Og akkurat som på Elias tid så var det en hunger etter Guds ord.
The Bible only existed in Latin.
Bibelen fantes bare på latin.
Which nobody could read except certain specially trained priests.
Som ingen kunne lese bortsett fra noen spesialutdannede prester.
And so Martin Luther and others protested this by translating the Bible into German, the language of the people.
Så Martin Luther en del andre protesterte mot dette ved å oversette Guds ord til tysk folkets språk.
They insisted the Bible needs to be in the language that people can read.
De sa Bibelen må være et språk som folk kan lese og forstå.
And the powers of the day, the political and religious powers, tried to hunt down Martin Luther and other translators of the Bible.
Og mange av de politiske kreftene på den tiden jakta på Martin Luther og de andre som oversatte Bibelen.
And yet they kept working to give the Bible, put the Bible in the language of the people, and they used the latest technology of the day, which was the printing press, to do it.
Og de jobbet hardt for å skaffe Guds ord på folkets språk, og de brukte den tidens teknologi, trykkpressa, for å få dette ordet ut.
Okay. 500 years later.
500 år senare.
We don't have dictators keeping us from the word of God.
Så har vi inte diktatorer som håller oss borta från Guds ord.
We have distractions.
Vi har Nej, vad blir det på norsk? Förstyrrelser eller ting som tar uppmärksamheten vår då?
Distractions.
Ja.
You know, it's not Joseph Stalin that's keeping us from the Bible.
Det är inte Joseph Stalin som håller oss borta från Bibeln.
You know, it's our smartphones and social media.
Det är sociala medier och smarttelefoner våra.
It's all the other important things that we need to do.
Alla de viktiga tingena som vi trenger att göra.
And so our Bibles have a nice layer of dust on them, you know.
Så Bibeln våra har ett fint lag med stöv på sig.
And meanwhile, people in churches are starving for the word of God.
Och samtidigt så hungrar människor I kyrkan efter Guds ord.
Imagine going into somebody's house and you see people there that are malnourished and far too thin for what is healthy.
Tänk att du kommer I ett hus och du ser människor där som är usynt tynne och underernärte.
They're not getting the vitamins and the minerals their bodies need to be healthy.
De får ikke næringsstoffene som kroppen trenger for å være sunne.
And you think, "Oh my, can I take you to the food bank?"
Så tänker du, "Åh, kan jag ta dig med till matutdelning?"
Some sort of charity where they help poor people to get food.
Ett land där de hjälper fattiga människor att få mat.
They say, "Oh no, we got plenty of food."
Nej, vi har massa mat.
And you open the refrigerator and it's full of food.
Och du öppnar kylskåpet, det är fullt av mat.
And the cupboards are full of food.
Och skåpen är fulla av mat.
But they're not eating it.
Men de spiser inte.
And spiritually, that's the day that we're in.
Och det andligt sett är den tiden vi lever i.
That's the condition so many of our churches and so many of us are in.
Och så många av våra kyrkor och så många av oss är i den tillstånden.
We see it in our private lives at home, and we see it in our public lives of church.
Vi ser det i våra privata liv hemma, och vi ser det i våra offentliga liv i kyrkorna våra.
Alright, let's jump ahead. We're going to look in Matthew.
Låt oss kika i Matteus.
So we're kind of steering in a different direction here.
Vi går en lite annorlunda riktning här nu.
Magnus has said if I preach too long he's not going to feed me this afternoon.
Magnus sagt hvis jeg taler for lenge så får han ikke noe mat i ettermiddag. Ikke i kveld heller forresten.
No. This Go ahead and please read the first 6 verses of chapter 17.
Ska vi läsa de första 6 verserna i kapitel 17 i Matteus?
Yeah, Matthew chapter 17, the first verses 1-6.
Ja. 6 dagar därefter tog Jesus med sig Peter, Jakob och hans bror Johannes och förde dem upp på ett höjt fjäll, där de var för sig själv. Och han blev förklarad för dem, hans ansikte skinte som solen, och hans kläder blev vita som lyset. Och se Moses och Elia visade sig för dem och talade med han. Då tog Peter till orda och sa till Jesus: "Herre, det är gott att vi är här. Visst du vill, så låt oss lägga 3 hytter här, en till dig, en till Moses och en till Elia." Men som framdeles snackat, se, då kom en strålande sky och skygget över dem, och plötsligt löd en röst ut av skyen som sa: "Detta är min son, den älskade, i ham har jag välbehag. Hör ham." Då disciplerna hörte det, föll de ner på sitt ansikt och de blev mycket rädda.
Elijah shows up.
Elia dyker upp
with Moses.
Sammen med Moses.
Not out of the past.
Ikke ut av fortiden.
But out of paradise.
Men ut av paradis.
They come down and they fellowship with Jesus right before the 3 disciples.
De kommer ner och de har fällskap med Jesus rätt föran de 3 disciplerna.
Now right before this at the end of chapter 16.
Rätt för detta på slutet av kapitel 16.
Jesus had been talking about his coming death and resurrection.
Så Jesus nettopp snackade om sin kommande död och uppståndelse.
And that he needed to die, but Peter rebuked him.
Han sa att han måste dö, men Peter sa nej.
And said, "No, this will never happen to you."
Nej, det ska aldrig ske med dig, sa han.
He didn't understand what he was saying about the cross.
Han förstod inte vad han menade om korset.
And so Jesus takes them up on a mountain.
Så Jesus tar dem upp på ett fjäll.
And he gets all LED and starts shining everywhere.
Han får liksom LED-lys över hela, LED-lys över hela sig och skinner.
And talking with Elijah and Moses.
Och snackar med Elia och Moses.
And you know the disciples, they're kind of all freaking out, you know.
Och disciplinerna blir lite rädda.
These are like the guys they grew up hearing about.
Detta var de guttene som de hört om när de var små.
You know, I don't know if they were eager to get their autographs or what.
Jag vet inte om de ville ha autografen eller så, det var bara för nå.
You know. And maybe they wondered, is what's going to happen?
Och så lurte på vad som ska ske.
Is Moses is there? Maybe God's going to give Moses the 10 commandments again.
Och Moses är där, kanske Moses ska Gud ska ge Moses de 10 buden igen.
Like he did on Mount Sinai.
Slik han gjorde på Sinai-fjellet.
Or maybe God's going to whisper into Elijah's ear.
Eller kanske Gud ska viska i Elias öra.
Like the way God whispered to Elijah on Mount Horeb.
Slik han gjorde på Horebfjellet.
But no.
Men nej.
There's a greater word here.
Här kommer ett enda högre ord, ett större ord.
God now speaks a greater word than the word of Sinai or the word of Horeb.
Gud snackar ett större ord än ordet som blev hört vid Sinai eller vid Horebfjellet.
For he now speaks the word of his very own son.
Nu snackar han sin egen sons ord.
He said, "Here is my son, listen to him."
Här står det: "Här är min son, hör ham."
You need to understand what he's telling you about the cross.
Du må høre og forstå det han sier om korset.
You need to understand what he's saying to you about his death.
Du må høre og forstå det han sier om sin død.
This is the Jesus Christ is the word of God come to us.
Dette er Jesus Kristus, Guds ord som kommer til oss.
Listen to him.
Lytt til ham.
We need Jesus. When Jesus left, he didn't give the disciples a portrait of himself.
Da Jesus forlot dem, så ga han dem ikke et portrett av seg selv.
If we were to somehow have a could get a photograph of Jesus with his 12 disciples.
Hvis vi kunne fått et fotografi av Jesus med sine 12 disipler.
I don't think we'd know which one is Jesus.
Så tror jeg ikke vi ville visst hvem av de som var Jesus.
It'd just be 13 guys.
Bare 13 menn.
No, but he did leave us his words.
Men han etterlot oss sitt ord.
And so where paintings are fine, music is fine, art, none of these things are bad.
Så malerier og musikk og alt dette bra, det ikke noe galt ved det.
The thing God says is, here is my word, listen to him.
Men det Gud sier til oss her mitt ord, lytt til ham.
You know, we're about to do something kind of physical very shortly.
Nå skal vi gjøre noe ganske fysisk her straks.
We're going to take bread physically and touch it and then eat it. And
vi skal ta brød fysisk, ta på det og spise det.
These are the senses of touch and taste.
Vi bruker sansene som berøring og smak.
But it takes words to explain what they mean.
Men vi trenger ord for å forstå hva det betyr.
Jesus did not mime the last supper.
Jesus mimet ikke det siste måltidet.
He took the bread and used his words to explain what it was he was doing.
Han tok brød og så brukte han ordene sine for å forklare hva det var han gjorde.
Yeah, apart from those words, it has no meaning. It's just bread and juice.
Uten disse ordene så har det ingen mening. Det bare brød og juice.
Okay. The church of God comes around Jesus Christ as the word of God.
Og når Guds menighet samler seg, så Jesus Kristus Guds
that,
ord.
That speaks the better word that can save.
Så taler det bedre ordet som kan frelse.
The word that can turn our hearts. Listen, you and I naturally, men, I'm speaking to you particularly, we are sons of Ahab.
Vi mennesker, og vi menn spesielt, vi sønner av Akab.
You and I, naturally, we have Ahab living inside of us.
Vi har alle sammen Akab på en eller annen måte levende på innsiden av oss.
And there's always this little Jezebel on our shoulders.
Og vi har en liten Jezebel på skuldrene våre.
And I don't mean your wife or your girlfriend.
Jeg mener ikke kona di eller kjæresten din.
I don't mean your mom.
Jeg mener ikke mora di heller.
I mean, there's always this temptation to sin.
Men det alltid denne synde, fristelsen til å synde.
There's this temptation to compromise.
Det den fristelsen til å gjøre et kompromiss.
Are we going to listen to the words of the evil one?
Skal vi lytte til ordet fra den onde?
Are we going to listen to the words of the new and greater Elijah?
Eller skal vi lytte til ordene fra den nye og større Elia?
The one that Elijah points to.
Den som Elia peker på.
The one with the greater word.
Den som har det større ordet.
All right.
Amen.